keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling in flare. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind. Oh no, it's ponderoso. Dope so, no overdose. Cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd no, we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
So I kind of had the same problem on Wednesday, and we were planning on setting up a Wednesday night show with Alberto hosting it. But unfortunately, I was down in Mexico, and my internet gave out on me, and I just couldn't get it working until only a few minutes before the show started. So we had to run a rebroadcasted show. We ran one from a few episodes back. But, you know, it all worked out, and we got Alberto on now, and in the future, I'm sure you'll be able to get a show together, and when we can't make it, you can come on and host it and bring another perspective, you know, from what me and DB bring. But we definitely appreciate your willingness to help us out that way. Unfortunately, it didn't work out, but no big deal.
Yeah, no, I originally planned to get the Ruben Luengas as a guest to figure out why, at least to give his respect, why is he... Mexico's apparently for the political establishment, public enemy numero uno because his internet, his computer was hacked, his all his email contacts were lost, and apparently as you probably already know, his website is censored in Mexico. I don't know if I unfortunately cannot currently check if it's the website period, but I know that in Mexico I don't know if it's still if it's now available, but I think he's still currently censored. But also, if Manny is about to call, the following sort of breaking news is going to make his blood boil even further. 4 years ago, there were 72 Central American migrants that were found dead in Tamaulipas. Only one of them survived because when he was shot in the neck, he played dead. And now it was leaked out that actually the police kidnapped them, held them up for ransom, and when the Central Americans couldn't pay up, they turned them over to the drug cartels to be executed. So we're fighting one hell of a Goliath that's south of the border to, I think you get the idea.
Yeah, definitely, man. I was down there. I actually just got back. That's why we didn't do the Wednesday show because of the complications I had in Mexico. But I went down to Mexico for 7 days. My brother took me on a trip down there, more or less just a vacation type of thing. It was actually kind of stressful for me not being able to get the news as soon as I wanted it and be able to get the website updated as quickly as possible. Fortunately, SM Gibson, which is our other host on Tuesday and Thursday. Was doing a really great job of editing the site, keeping everything flowing, keeping the page going. So that's, for me, is a really optimistic thing. But, yeah, I got to witness a lot of these crazy things that are going on in Mexico. And first and foremost, I just want to say that, you know, the people down there, the working class, like the people that you deal with when you go to eat at restaurants or go places, I mean, these are all really good, genuine, hospitable people that are very generous, actually. And unfortunately, you know, I went down to the Mayan pyramids and got to experience that, and it was beautiful and stuff. But you kind of see that, you know, the way the Mayan pyramids were built is kind of the same way Washington, D.C. was built and the same way New York City was built. I mean, it's kind of a lot of it is based on these kind of false ideas. And really what it is it's used to capitalize on the working people, you know, and then a few people end up taking power. In the days of the Mayan, they had basically a monarchy, and then they had the priests. And, you know, even to this day, we still have monarchies. We still have presidents, Congress, Parliament, and then we got the Roman Church, the Roman Catholic Church, all the big churches all across the world, no matter which religion. And it's kind of the same thing. It's all still based on the very basic, simple idea that we can use those ideas of government and religion to exploit the working class and to get only a few people in charge. So to me, one of the big things I realized when I was down there, and don't get me wrong, the atrocities did not end in the Mayan days when the Spanish got there. I mean, right now, to this day, the Mexican government is insanely corrupt. They're insanely in the bed with the drug cartels and stuff like that. So it's been an ongoing struggle for people in Mexico for the past, you know, couple thousand years, where they've been being oppressed and taken advantage of. And we're starting to see, especially with this latest, you know, huge protesting and civil disobedience in Mexico over these people that are missing from Ayotzinapa, we're starting to see this rising tide, not only in Mexico, but from from all over the world. I talked to a bunch of people when I was down there from Europe and South America, Venezuela, and they're all kind of on the same page. I think everyone that's of the fighting age, of the working age, they're all thinking these same ideas, that they want to be free and that they're tired of being taken advantage of. They're tired of being oppressed. And the reason why we're able to really figure all this stuff out is because for so long, and we still see it in the form of racism today, there's still a lot of people that are absolutely racist. But for so long, we were divided down these lines of, well, it's one empire and then another empire, and then we hate that empire, we don't communicate with them, only our royal people communicate together. It was like that for the longest time until the advent of, 20th century, 21st century communications, whether we're talking about the steam engine at first, and then telephone, what's it called? What was it called before the telephone?
Telegraph,
stuff like that. And now it's become the internet. So now we're able to break down these false barriers that all of these people that are part of this power structure, they try to build up these false barriers around us, whether it's language or color of your skin, nationality, north or south, east or west, things like that. They've built up these oligarchies, these power structures based on these ideas, and really they're all just basically these false ideas. They're not actually real. It's just that people perceive them as being real, and that's what really is dividing and conquering all of the working people, the fighting people that are actually creating all of the all of the wealth and creating all of the resources, mining all the resources, running the power plants, building all the cars and things like that. These are the people that for so long we've been tricked into believing that we need to be fighting against other working people, and we need to be fighting against our own brothers and sisters just because they're from across the border, or just because they're from the other side of the state, or just because they're from the next state over, whatever. It's a bunch of nationalism that's very built into the power structure, and they need that in order to keep us all down. If they can keep us all down, they can keep us fighting each other. Well, then we're never going to fight against them, the few people that actually are taking advantage of the entire situation. And to me, what I saw in Mexico, it's a very universal problem. It's everywhere.
It is. And it's on two fronts now. It's easy to see because you can see what's going on with the, let's just say it's a prescribed solution to come up with a way for the public to villainize cops, which, by the way, they do, for the most part, enjoy, getting away with brutality, and that's got to stop. But you can't say that, well, we're going to fight the cops. We're going to fight the cops. We're going to fight North Korea. We're fighting the wrong people, man. We're not fighting the right people. You're fighting a bunch of brainwashed people that would really be on your side against the real oppressors, but that's the whole matrix. That's the whole system.
Yeah, man, I agree with you. I don't see, there was three cops recently killed.
Right.
So we got three cops killed, two in New York, one in Florida. And in my opinion, now, don't get me wrong, these are small, like when it comes to numbers and statistics, this is a small amount of people. It's not the hugest deal. But I don't think that's the correct way to victory. I think the way to victory, and I've witnessed some of it, is getting these guys to switch sides and join the righteous cause, more or less. Because a lot of them are doing it because they're still part of the status quo. So they go to work, and I saw it on some of these guys' faces. There's no denying it, that they understand. They're like, look, I know I'm on the wrong side, but at this point in time, I can't change sides without getting lynched. But at a certain point, and I think we're making strides in that direction, especially with all these celebrities and stuff coming out and all these sports people and stuff, we're heading in the right direction where the cops are more or less going to start defecting. And they're going to start realizing, what is becoming of this American police state. They're going to realize how far gone it's become and how they've been used as tools of the empire, more or less.
Well, how can you have a legitimate police state if we're all armed? Do you see where they're putting them? They're offering up as a sacrificial lamb. They're putting them on a platter to come in with a real police state, a drone police state. No more humans. We can't trust humans. It's like the NSA. They can't trust Snowden. Now they're going all automated AI, and now you have drones that are unhackable shooting missiles at weddings because they think they're terrorists. This is the future we're going to allow them to set up. The way to avoid that is to actually keep doing what we're doing. Keep waking people up slowly but surely, because if they ever bring violence to a head, they're going to get everyone against them, and they cannot win. They can only win if they divide us and slowly but surely conquer us, whittle us down, and cull us. And what we're doing right now is actually what the doctor ordered, man. We just have to keep it going. That's it.
Yeah, man, I agree with you. So we have a few new callers on the line. First, we're going to go to 215. I believe it's our caller that we scheduled to come on from, I think, Pennsylvania area. Emily, is that you?
Yeah, hi.
How's it going?
Good, how are you?
Pretty good. So Emily helped to organize or at least promote this big nationwide action to help out homeless people. And this, a lot of it took place last week. A lot of it, I think, is probably still going to take place. There's varying dates for when or where it's going to happen. In San Diego, we had an event on Sunday, and it was really great, actually. We gave out a bunch of food, home-cooked food, a bunch of sleeping bags, tents, warm clothing for all the people here in San Diego. Normally, it's not that cold here in San Diego, but this year we're actually getting hit by a El Nino weather pattern, which is actually good for us because we need the rain. But anyway, here in San Diego, we have a very high per capita rate of homelessness, and 35% of our homeless are military vets. But I really wanted Emily to come on to talk about this event, why you did it. Is there more going on in the future? What can you tell us?
Yeah, there is more going on. It's kind of, I mean, it started out as just being one day, kind of an opportunity to get a lot of activists together to just get out there and you know, make some serious change in the physical world. But it sort of has progressed, which is great, and a lot of people are stepping up and arranging events in their areas, whether it's a repeat event or a newfound event. So, I mean, at this point, there's probably been about 40 events, and a lot of them were global. Canada, the UK, Germany, Australia, and the United States all participated. So,
well, the UK is probably really tough on their homeless because they put spikes out there, and you remember that story that went viral a few months ago. They put anti-homeless spikes in front of a few businesses, in front of a few buildings. Now, here in San Diego and in many other places across the U.S., and there was another big story that went viral from Fort Lauderdale maybe a month or so ago about how people were getting arrested, and there was this old guy, this pastor, that was getting arrested just because he was trying to feed the homeless because he didn't pay for a permit or whatever. So this is another huge problem here. Not only is our economic system and our military-industrial complex creating so many people that become homeless, whether they have mental illness, whether they just can't afford to pay rent. A lot of, up to 40% of homeless people have jobs and work. So a lot of them work jobs, just can't afford to pay rent. So,
right.
You know, the question I have for you, maybe you can answer this. Why is it that our system is creating so many homeless people, and why is it, at least from what I've noticed, why is it that our government is just not dealing with it, not helping the problem? At the very least, the government just making it worse.
I mean, well, they don't care about us. You know, they certainly don't care about homeless people who aren't paying any taxes. I mean, a lot of them aren't, you know, they serve them no benefit. So, but I think that the problem is getting worse. It's an epidemic, and it's getting worse. I mean, in New York City this year, over 80,000 children alone faced homelessness just in New York City alone. So, I mean, those numbers are staggering. And I think that the problem really is just it's economy. It's single parents who, you know, have a minimum wage job and they can't afford to pay rent. And if they can, I mean, it's just not enough to pay all of their bills. So people are ending up on the streets, and the shelters are full, and a lot of the shelters have like crazy regulations. I mean, some of it's just absolutely out of control. I mean, the things that I've been learning while organizing these events is just, it's astounding to me. You know, in Huntsville, Alabama, one of my friends went out to the camp there, and there was 3 children out there. And, of course, you know, she was very concerned because they're kids, young kids. And so she made a couple calls, and she found out that the shelter in Huntsville they're so full that they refused to accommodate them, even though they were minors, unless they had a written medical disorder. So unless they're sick, they won't help.
Wow, yeah, that's wow. That's crazy, crazy statistics, especially in New York. I can't believe that, 80,000 children. Now, yeah. Nationwide, it's about 20-25% of the homeless people are military veterans. And this kind of brings us into this other big topic, and I was hoping you maybe want to touch on this as well before you have to go. But it seems like we've got all this money to go and start all these wars, right? So we're now in Iraq and Syria, and there was just a story out today, maybe it came out yesterday, about how the U.S. Military actually engaged in a fight with ISIS, killed a bunch of ISIS. So this whole no boots on the ground thing is basically a huge lie, and we've been reporting on that since day one. There's like 10,000 military contractors in Iraq that are out there defending oil fields and stuff. Those I consider boots on the ground as well. Anyway, we've sent in several thousand American troops into Iraq and Syria, but at the same time, they're denying or at the very least refusing to fully provide services to a lot of these military veteran guys. And there's this huge patriotism about the military. And, yeah, we gotta go fight these wars and we're going to go do that. And foreign policy, to me, it's like a whole other topic. But they've got so much money to fight these wars and stuff. But at the same time, they don't want to take care of the people that get injured or get some kind of mental illness or PTSD after they go and fight. So why do you think it is that they're able to get away with this? I mean, a year and a half ago, we all opposed the Syrian war, but now it's just like, oh, whatever, everyone's just letting it go. Why do you think they're able to get away with it?
I really just don't think that enough people are aware of the problem or the severity of the problem. I mean, you know, that's the great hypocrisy of it all, is that, you know, we have 25-30% of the homeless population are veterans. So they fought for, you know, an alleged freedom, and we're not even allowed to feed them. I mean, it's astounding. One of the things that I really like most about doing this event and is something that has really opened my eyes personally as an activist is, you know, I've had so many people reach out that aren't generally interested in anything that I have to say as far as activism when I'm just preaching and not actually arranging an event. So many people that aren't activists, so many people that don't know what's going on in the world were so happy to step up, offer their time, offer their donations, create an event in their location. So it's really made me realize that you don't really have to understand the problem in order to be part of the solution.
Exactly. And there's a huge to me, it's like I'm seeing this huge grassroots tide that's rising. It's like a tsunami of people that are actually realizing what the hell's going on. And like you said, even people that don't realize, they still want to help people. They may not know why it's happening, but at the very least, they know that they want to help. They know that it's not right that there's children on the streets. There's a large percentage of the homeless population that are children. So, you know, a lot of the people don't want to or don't realize that we have this huge problem. But when they find out about it, they may not know why it's happening, but they're still willing to say, hey, yeah, something's not right, so we should do something about it. And that's awesome that you were able to get, or at least you helped, you know, to make this happen, you know, and get so many people out there to help out people that are in need, because I think that's what we need to do. Because if you look at history, I mean, we were talking about the Mayan culture. I went and visited during last week, and they basically had the same problem that we're having now. They had it 1,000 years ago as well. You know, the Roman Empire had the same problem. All these civilizations have the same problem. So I'm glad that people are starting to realize, hey, you know what, it's time to just come together and start helping people out that are in need and stop trying to rely on this corrupt system that is more or less ripping us all off, enslaving us, creating a lot of the homeless problem and a lot of the homeless population. So, to me, it's really optimistic to see people stepping up. And we're starting to see this all across the spectrum, whether it comes to, you know, police brutality, homelessness, the wars. Now, I wish there was a bigger outcry for the wars, but I think there will be really soon, because this thing is turning into another Vietnam, obviously. And
Emily, if I could also add on to this, Also, as you always know, a few weeks ago, probably Nicole knows that me and a couple of anonymous guys of Southern California, we on the 4 o'clock news, we photobombed the local NBC channel. But also, he was talking about me about the homeless situation because I unfortunately don't know if he was in the Big Brother Big Sister program or if he helped some homeless kids or things like that. Foster kids, when they are taken away from their parents, they are put in even worse situations because the government doesn't take good care of them. They don't make sure that they go to school. And by the time they turn 18, they just toss them out on the street at their own luck, without any idea of what to do.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and even the ones that get an education, I mean, the education now is going downhill quickly. And a lot of it is just, a lot of it's turned into propaganda and stuff. Fortunately, more and more people are turning to the internet to learn, even these kids. And, I mean, at least for me, because we were one of the first generations that grew up with internet, like, all the time. To me, high school became, like, more of a social type of thing, and then most of our real learning and research took place online. So that's kind of a trade-off there, right? But you're right. These foster kids as well, they're getting just thrown under the bus, and it seems like it's a problem that is falling to the back of people's minds with all this other crap going on and so many things going on. And that's why this show, sometimes I feel like we should extend our show for like 2 or 3 hours because there's just so much to talk about. But yeah, I'm glad that people are starting to step up though to help the homeless. Emily, one last
I was just going to say, that's attacking the root of the problem, too, is it's the apathy, man. If you don't see it in your face, if it's not somebody that you know, it doesn't really exist.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, out of sight, out of mind. I mean, I think that community efforts are so important, and we need to work from the ground up and really just come together, whether it's, you know, feeding homeless people or having community gardens, really just working together and getting to know our neighbors, because we don't. we need to work together.
I'm sorry to interrupt one thing. We're basically into serving socially like New York City. If we ever see another, we just give them the very courtesy of just, hello, how you doing, and then walk away.
Yeah, and that's a huge problem, man. It's the apathy. So one last thing I wanted to ask you, Emily, is how can people find these events for the upcoming events in their area?
If they just use the hashtag OP, Feed the Homeless, #OP, Feed the Homeless. All of the events are all coordinated that way on Facebook. So, I mean, that's the best organizing method that we've come up with yet. So, I mean, it's working. And it's growing. Yep. The initiative keeps growing. One other thing that go ahead.
I was just going to ask one real quick question. Going forward, is there, me and Nick always talk about federal land, and it seems like this sits hand in hand. We need to reappropriate some of this. There's lots everywhere. There's places to grow food, and, if the community doesn't want a homeless problem to spread into something more like, a food riot if something happened, we need to get these things going to where we can make it sustainable for not just people that are in the economy and in the system, but if you're somebody that fell through the cracks, you're not going to starve because we have the ability to give you the place to grow your own food.
Right. I mean, yeah, that would be a wonderful thing. You know, that's one thing that I'm trying to work on this year is just get people together to make community gardens, and hopefully we can just give a lot of the food to homeless citizens. One problem is that because it is becoming illegal in so many places, not just feeding homeless, but homelessness. And what's happening is these cities are actually driving homeless citizens out. So, one thing that I've found in talking to so many homeless people in Philadelphia over the last couple of months is that at least 50% of them aren't from Philadelphia. They're coming from other areas because Philadelphia is more lenient as opposed to a lot of cities that literally displace them and they have nowhere to go.
Yeah, and we can't forget the fact that there's enough empty houses for everyone to stay in, and they can just stay in them while they're being sold, and then they can move to the next house. I mean, if our government if our government was actually like seriously interested in helping people, that'd be something that they'd look into. Because, I mean, let's keep it real. The government bailed out all these banks, so they are kind of, in a way, a public interest. So, you know, we should be doing that. And like you were saying, DB, about the federal lands, we've got 650 million acres of federal land. That's enough for 2 acres for every single person or more. So there's no reason why people should be homeless or anything when, technically speaking, the people, if we want to talk about the people still owning the government, then the people own 650 million acres, and that land should be reappropriated and given to people that are in need.
Yeah. Where's the 2 acres and a solar panel?
Yeah, back in the day, it was 40 acres and a mule. Nowadays, 2 acres and a few solar panels. I mean, there you go. So thank you, Emily, for calling in. Make sure you guys check out find out the events in your area, hashtag #opfeedthehomeless. And hopefully you call in again, because you also do a lot of other activism and stuff. It was nice having you on.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. If I could just say one more thing. You know, one thing that a lot of people have contacted me about was a fear of the walls in their areas. And, you know, I recommended that those people just go out with a backpack and on a bicycle with friends, you know, because if you're not congregated in a big park drawing attention, you don't really have the likelihood of getting arrested and attracting police attention. But not just that, you know, civil disobedience works, because of all the events that occurred, there wasn't one arrest. So
yeah, exactly. And then also they suspended that law in Fort Lauderdale as well, the law that went about all those stories that went viral about people getting arrested. Well, guess what? The social media picked up on it so big, alternative independent media picked up on it so big, that Fort Lauderdale was forced to suspend that law temporarily, at least. And they're probably going to repeal it. So definitely, I think civil disobedience definitely works, and that's a great point. So we have Manny on the line as well, I think, from 818. How's it going, Manny?
What's up, Nick? Gringo Brother just got back, huh? From the real world, huh?
Yeah, I just got back from Riviera Maya, state of Quintana Roo, and I saw quite a few people in solidarity with the students from Ayotzinapa down there, as a matter of fact. And I was actually talking to my brother when I was there. We were sitting there at this restaurant, and there's a car right there, and on the back of the window, in the back windshield, it had it painted on the windshield. I forget the exact phrase, but it basically said solidarity with the students. And I sat there and I was like, you know what, man, it takes a lot of guts to do that in this area, because there's so many cops everywhere, and there's a checkpoint every 20 miles, that for someone to do that, they're making a big statement.
Exactly. Actually, I saw your post on that. You know, that's why. The same thing you've been saying about checkpoints here, I've been saying about the checkpoints, you know, what the immigration do. When I come to San Diego, why do I have to carry my passport if I don't go across the border? But no, I got to pass through San Clemente and all that, you know, and it's just kind of sad, you know. But I just, you know, and talking about the homeless, there's a lot of other ways to feed the homeless. People need to give care enough to go to, you know, feed them during Thanksgiving. Like, you know, there's a lot of shelters, Skid Row. I go down there and be a volunteer to serve food and stuff like that. So there's other ways to do it too, you know, stuff like that. But I just went to play on Saturday at the Frida Kahlo Theater. I mean, it was, the actors just told a real story. I mean, what, of all 43 of them, completely, each one had a story, what they liked, what they didn't like, what they wanted to be, blah, 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 you know, and stuff like that. And it was really, really, you know, worth it to me to have had this director and this actress and these other actors, and I say actors because I know a lot of actresses, and then the other actors, to really, you know, care enough to have been participants and being actors for this play and this writer, and then, of course, the creator, the producer, and the director being, you know, humble enough to bring this story to life and stuff like that. I really appreciate it. The director happens to be the same director that told the story about the missing women in Juarez, you know, and stuff like that. The unforgotten women from Juarez and stuff like that. So it was really, really meaningful for me to have, you know, gone to the theater and seen that particular. I got to speak a little bit, obviously, because, you know, people know that I'm from Acapulco, the state of Guerrero, where it happened and stuff like that. So it was really an honor, and obviously really emotional that they did it at the theater where this famous be married to another famous artist, Diego Rivera, the legendary Frida Kahlo.
Yeah, man. For me to see that they're starting to be art coming out about what's going on. Activist art, activist music. I mean, there's been here in the U.S. about what happened to Mike Brown and Eric Garner. There's been a bunch of songs being created, and it's starting to show a maturity of a movement where it's starting to develop multifaceted angles. It's not just out in the streets blocking freeways, disturbing traffic and stuff like that, which is definitely needed. But now it's becoming music, it's becoming art, plays, videos, it's becoming celebrities, pop idols and major athletes like Kobe Bryant and stuff like that, that are coming out in support of these causes from all various different places. And to me,
You remember that thing about the bucket? Remember that thing about the water bucket? Where there's an actor that's out on a limb on this, police brutality and stuff like that. Samuel Jackson came out and basically told other actresses and actors, you need to step up, stuff like that.
Yeah, that's right. Samuel L. Jackson said, we need to start an ice bucket challenge to stop police violence. And this is showing that we're starting to break through into the upper echelon of consciousness, where people even at the top that are even comfortable within the system, for the same criticisms that people throw at Russell Brand, it's kind of a reflection back to the movement at large. We're starting to see figures that are, have a lot of celebrity appeal that are coming over to our side. And this kind of goes back to what DB was saying earlier on in the show about the cops. And why, in my personal view, now I think a lot of what's going on with the cops and how they're getting shot, in a way it's very reactionary. It's in a way it's a reactionary form of self-defense. But I don't think it's constructive, because I think that we can get these cops to, step over to the other side and basically go against what they're being taught and what they're being told to do by this establishment, by the government, by the corporate class. And this is really what it is. It's not that these cops want to be out here brutalizing people. These are the orders that they're getting. They got to keep people in line. Yep. Otherwise, it may jeopardize the corporate order of America and the cartel government order of Mexico and all around the world. It's jeopardizing to them. So these cops have to be brutal. They're being told to be brutal because they got to try to scare people into line. But fortunately, there's so many activists and so many people waking up about what's going on with all this police brutality, police statism, and stuff like that. That is, every time they do it, every time they do a worse action, it just backfires even worse. They kidnapped these 43 kids in Mexico. They killed Mike Brown. They killed Eric Garner. What does it do? It doesn't shut the people up. It makes it even bigger. You know what I'm saying? It just keeps adding fuel to the flame. So what they're trying to do is scare everybody in the line, but what it's actually doing is making the resistance even stronger, even larger.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. And I'm sure you saw that in Mexico firsthand,
Yeah, man, I definitely saw that in Mexico with all the people that I came into contact with, a lot of the working class people, and I talked to them because my Spanish is pretty good. I was about 80% fluent down there, and I was able to communicate pretty well. Yeah, man. I've never actually talked to you in Spanish, but yeah, I could communicate pretty well now in Spanish, man. But anyway,
I hope so I don't have to strap you down to a chair and make you watch La Usurpadora on DVD.
No thanks.
Oh yeah. Well, so, you know, Nick, one of the things about DB, being in California from Minnesota, we need to talk to that brother. He needs to go to Quintana Roo, hook him up with some Latino women down there. That brother DB, I can see him going all the way. But Minnesota, come on, DB, what's up, brother? Yeah.
Hey, if you're paranoid like me, you get away from the coast.
We have another caller joining us from 410. You've been on the line for a while. I'm going to give you a few seconds to unmute. 410, what do you want to talk about?
Yeah, this is Rob from Global Revolution Live and DC Media Group.
How's it going? Glad to have you on. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, thanks. Patty Beers asked me to come on and talk about the NYPD's officers who they shot. I've been on this story since the beginning, and there are a lot of things that are not being discussed. Mainstream media, they're not covering the facts. Inside of your chat on your website, I posted the official Baltimore County website account of Timeline. And they actually, the Baltimore County Police Department actually called the 78th Precinct at 2:10, more than a half an hour before those cops were shot. Gave them a full description of this guy. So people can go on to into your chat on your website and get that link. So it's the disinformation and the lack of information is just astounding. In Baltimore, Fox News 45 had a, it was on Gawker, had put up a report that people in D.C. were chanting, kill cops, kill a cop. And it's now proven that they were not saying kill a cop.
So yeah, I actually saw that one. It showed the full video there, and they were chanting, put these killer cops behind bars or something like that. And what Fox News did was they clipped it down, where it made it sound like the protesters were saying, yeah, let's go kill cops. But when you look at the full video, it shows that that's not what they were saying at all. They were saying, we need to hold killer cops accountable. And what Fox News changed it into was, these guys want to kill cops.
Kill cops.
Yep. Like what they did to Shirley Sherrod a couple of years ago. Let me explain the backstory. That this woman who worked at some minor worker in the Obama administration, that finished that this nutsack, which in hell is probably resting, is I don't remember his name, but he edited the video so she in a speech so she looked like a racist. And the Obama administration was so scared that they're going to resign right now because they're going to air this crap on Glenn Beck's show tonight. They pressure until she texted her resignation, and then hours later it showed up that, boom, it was a farce.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So for 410, you want to continue a little bit about what's going on in New York with these killing of these cops?
Well, today, Mayor de Blasio came out and he asked for the cops. One of the problems was the Police Benevolent Association president, his name is Patrick Lynch. He pretty much declared war on de Blasio and on protesters. Another video that came out was cops turned their back to the mayor de Blasio of New York City as he went into the hospital, and that was very controversial. But this police association, who has a lot of power in New York City, he's creating more problems than he's helping. But the other thing is that de Blasio is asking for protests to stop until they bury the police officers. But one of my things that I do for Global Revolution Live is I track mainstream media, and it's all day long. MSNBC and CNN, they're associating protests, the Black Lives Matter, Hands Up, Don't Shoot, Ferguson, and Eric Garner, all the different protests nationwide on the death of the cops, that they motivated this person from Maryland to go and kill these cops. And it's just not true. The person tried to commit suicide on Saturday morning and then shot his girlfriend. And this is... It's terrible what's going on with mainstream media, and thank God for anti-media, and we're trying to do our part at Global Revolution Live to get the truth out there.
Yeah, man, exactly. There's such a level of propaganda that's going on, but one thing I do want to touch on as far as Hannity is sitting there blaming protesters for the death of. For the death of these cops, but at the same time, this guy he sits there and cheerleads the U.S. into all these wars and the blowing up people in Palestine and stuff. It's like, well, if you want to hold people accountable, you want to hold Mayor de Blasio accountable because he made a few comments that were critical of police. Well, dude, you need to get taken down to The Hague and tried for war crimes because you helped annihilate 2,000 Palestinians. You know, so these guys are complete hypocrites. They're spin doctors. And like you talked about, the Fox affiliate down in Baltimore spun that story to make it sound like people were saying that we need to start killing cops. But on the other side of the equation, and one thing I do want to mention here, is that for every action is a reaction. And let's talk a little bit. I want to talk about blowback from what these cops are going to start experiencing. And yeah, this guy that killed these two cops in New York was a nutcase, maybe, and he was a lifelong criminal. He had plenty of mental problems and stuff like that. But by the same token, by these police and by this police state being so aggressive and killing so many people, it gives people an automatic distrust. And when I see a cop on the street, my first thought is, oh, there's another cop bastard that's going to try to pull me over for no reason and try to send me to court to pay a bunch of money. Or in the worst case scenario, it's going to be even worse and it's going to escalate and I get shot by him. You know, so people are starting to get this idea, like whenever they see cops, they're automatically thinking, okay, that's pretty much my enemy. You know, and because the police state has become so aggressive, I think that it raises the probability that more and more cops are going to get, you know, continue to be shot because people are just so fed up with being harassed by them. What do you think about that?
Yes, absolutely. I don't see. I would like to think that there's a peaceful end to this, and my agenda is had the peaceful protest, but I don't see. You guys were talking about homelessness. I mean, the current state of this country is just tragic. You look at the midterm elections, people are giving up. 34% of the population went out to vote.
34% of the eligible voters. Right. So, I mean, that's like, what, 20%? Less than 20% of the actual population? So, yeah.
People are giving up. So, what's going to happen? I don't know. And that part of it is very scary. And I've been at this independent media stuff since September, 17th, since the Occupy movement. And, I haven't really, gone along with all cops are bastards. But, with this movement, with Black Lives Matter, the blue coat of silence, I traveled out to Ferguson and I stood there and I watched people hugging some of the cops, and I'm thinking to myself, that cop knows something about what happened with Mike Brown that we don't know, that he's not saying. He might not be guilty of anything other than not telling the truth about what he knows. Because all those Ferguson cops know something.
Well, think about this. According to the American justice system, which is, by the way, very regressive and also very racist, there's such thing as guilty by association. You know, just knowing that people committed a murder and then lying about it or covering it up. I mean, in a way, that you can still be charged for crimes like that. You know, and so I never thought about it this way. But what you're saying here is that like a lot of these guys that are refusing to cross the thin blue line. You know, to me, it seems like a lot of them are actually guilty because they're guilty by association.
Right. It's coercion. You know, there was another cop just recently who had to resign because he stood there and did nothing about a cop kicking a woman in the head and his partner shoving a flashlight down her throat. So, and I look at that story and think, why aren't these two people in prison?
Or the ones who sexually harassed Cicely McMillan.
Yeah, or
the crime against humanity is a crime against humanity. I think we need to get to that point, man. Just because you wear a shiny badge, just because you wear a uniform, I mean, if anything, you're a bigger puppet than anybody else. So why are we giving these guys a free pass? Well, yeah. And here's the thing. This is why we're giving them a free pass. The reason why we're giving them a free pass is we do not contribute to attorney general elections. Who contributes to them? Who supports them? Police unions and police associations. They are the people who put the attorney generals and
They are the generals of the justice system.
Yeah, because that's why we all know about the unions funding, funding political campaigns.
All right.
And that big controversy about that, because a lot of people that are in unions may not want to support a certain candidate for the DA. Let's say a cop in a union says, I don't want this candidate for DA, but guess what? Too bad. Your union is going to put your money from the union fees, and they're going to go ahead and elect this DA. So like you were saying, there's a big collusion there as well between the DAs and the prosecutors and stuff and the cops. And then, you know, this whole thing, maybe you can elaborate on this. We got to be kind of quick here because we got to touch on this North Korea stuff. But how about this whole – to me, I'm seeing this whole feud between de Blasio and the NYPD as a complete theater. They're kind of just steering the conversation away from what matters. And they're saying, oh, the mayor and the cop union are feuding. But none of that stuff actually matters when it comes down to the movement. What do you think? Is this just a distraction? Are they trying to send us off in the wrong direction or what?
Yes, it's a distraction, because if the families really understood how the NYPD fucked up at 2:10 p.m. on Saturday and did not get that information out to those officers on the radio, that could have saved their lives. Those families could sue, probably. And not only, it just makes the NYPD look bad. So that's why I think that theater is going on.
Yeah, man, I wouldn't doubt it. Hey, dude, thanks for calling in. Make sure you guys check out Global Revolution Live .tv, right? They actually broadcast and aggregate a lot of these live streaming actions that are going on all over the world. So it's a great website. It's a great resource to get the raw feeds. You can actually see what's going on from within the protests. So thanks for calling in, man. And hopefully you call in soon. We'll talk to you later.
I want to mention the deal about North Korea and stuff like that. I'm very embarrassed that, you know, here in Hollywood, we should stick together when not only in the good times, but in the bad times. I'm kind of really sad that, you know, my former studio, anybody else, did not support Sony when they were down. When Sony got hit by North Korea and stuff like that, and they left him out to dry. I was supporting Obama when he said something, you know, something like that, but this time he's wrong, because Mr. Lane reported directly to one of his advisors. So the president, by saying, well, he didn't talk to me, well, hell, he talked to one of the advisors. Isn't the right hand, doesn't know what the left hand's doing and stuff like that. So he went through the chain of command and did what he needed to do and stuff like that. But, you know, I mean, he basically was all alone. No studio came forward to help him out and stuff like that to Sony. And that's kind of sad. And so I want to mention that, because that's not where our business should be. But that's the way, unfortunately, it is, very cutthroat and stuff like that, you know.
Well, here's one of the things I want to bring up, and we've reported on this on the anti-media as well, is that a lot of people think that the North Koreans weren't actually behind the hack. You know, a lot of people think that it was somebody else, and that it was this hacker group called the Guardians of the Guardians of, they call themselves the GOP. I can't remember the last word, but So here's the thing, is that, like, Anonymous has come out and said, no, there's no way that North Korea could have actually pulled this off. And even the guy from one of the co-directors of the movie, The Interview, which is the one that's in question here, he came out and said, our tech guys basically said, no, this wasn't a hack by North Korea. This had to be an inside job. Someone within the company leaked this information out. You know, and so with this whole hacker culture and this whole, you know, the whole Gawker culture, where everyone's trying to break these crazy celebrity stories, I wouldn't doubt that it was an inside job from within Sony. You know, these people have a big financial incentive to jailbreak a lot of this information. You know, so there's no telling if that's what happened. But here's the thing for me that's really concerning. First of all, I don't know if you guys heard, but North Korea's internet got basically completely knocked offline today. And they basically disappeared from the internet. And we had an exclusive story on the anti-media. You guys can go check that out. It's probably the second or third story from the top of the page about who is behind this cyber attack against North Korea. Now, of course, the whole story about North Korea hacking Sony has been called into question by many people. Who knows? Maybe it was North Korea that was behind this. But at the same token, I think the U.S. should not be going and cyber attacking North Korea because one of the companies that operates within the U.S. Gets hacked. I mean, in the end, Japan is a Japanese, I mean, Sony is a Japanese company, right? So in the end, it shouldn't be our government going up to bat and maybe, you know, doing a cyber attack against North Korea, which is what an anonymous source confirmed to us was happening today. You know, it's a private company, and not only that, but it's headquartered in Japan. It's a Japanese company. So if anything was going to happen, the Japanese government should be taking care of it. It shouldn't be Obama saying, oh, there's going to be some kind of retaliation, which he said a few days ago, and then all of a sudden today their internet goes down. And then we have, from our source, we have reports that there may be a cyber attack against the monetary system of North Korea. You know, so to me, that's what's really concerning. And then what comes along with it, and the other thing Obama said today, and here's the thing, Obama is getting really aggressive now that he has this future Republican Congress that's coming in. Obama's starting to show his neocon, you know, his true neocon self. And so what Obama came out and said earlier today was that, well, now this should renew calls for cyber intelligence sharing, basically CISPA or SOPA type of legislation. So now what they're trying to say, well, since Sony got hacked, we need to go ahead and ram through this CISPA legislation so that we can go ahead and create an even bigger crony dragnet when it comes to corporatism and when it comes to corporate collusion with government and cracking down on people for using diverse means of acquiring content and stuff like that. So this is what's really concerning to me, is that not only is this possibly not a North Korean problem, a North Korean initiated attack, but the U.S. is now directly attacking North Korean internet infrastructure and possibly the financial sector. But they're also trying to pass new domestic laws. They're using this as a call to pass new domestic laws to basically advance the NSA, advance the surveillance dragnet against the rest of us, against the people that are residing here in the U.S. Exactly. I mean, that's what they're trying to get into. And that's what I'm scared of, man, is that, that's what I'm scared of, is that they're going to change this into this whole narrative and it's really acting as a sort of false flag against, you know, internet privacy and stuff. And our privacy is already eroded like crazy. We know that from the Snowden revelations, and we know that from long before. But there's always a potential that this stuff gets worse. And to me, it's kind of a sign, because to me, the reason they're pulling out all the stops and they're trying to make excuses, just like when Sandy Hook happened, they used that as an excuse to try to create national gun control and try to take the guns away from American citizens. Mm-hmm. It's because these guys are getting desperate. You know, they're getting desperate, and they know they have all the polling data. The NSA has all the communications. They know what people are talking about. They know what the chatter is all about. So they know that people are getting really fed up, just like the people in Mexico are getting really fed up. The people in the U.S. and all around the world are also getting fed up. And I think that's why they're really pulling out all the stops with all this propaganda and trying to get us into this total war situation. Now, so they're upping the ante on war with North Korea. They've been upping the ante with war with Russia. They've more or less tried to crash the Russian monetary system. And now we're seeing China bailing out Russia. I mean, this whole thing is creating this new dynamic. And it's something that I think the U.S. public is not consenting to, but it's still happening. And our government is going to go ahead and do a lot of these things, whether it's in North Korea, Ukraine, Syria, with Russia, against China, whatever it is. The U.S. government is the one in many ways dictating this. And the U.S. public is, first of all, not consenting to it, while at the same time we're on the hook, we're on the line. If they do try to start up this huge regional war and this huge fight with North Korea, or we go into a fight in Ukraine against Russia, we're all on the hook. Everyone that lives within the U.S. is on the hook for this. So, you know, we got to really resist all this propaganda. We don't trust the government. We know that. So why are we going to allow them to dictate our foreign policy? It's time to put a stop to that. Thank you guys for calling in. Thank you guys for joining us. Catch you guys every day of the week.
Good night, guys. Bye-bye.
Talk to you Wednesday. Bye. Bring them on in. I'll see you later.
Yo, here we go. Go through the stereo.